Hello? Okay. Hello, beautiful, good-looking, prosperous, blessed, anointed men and women of God. Amen. My name is Crystal, and I'm a member here at the Ark. Today, I have the privilege to share the abundance message with you. In the second book of Timothy, chapter 4, sorry, I had to start my alarm. In the book of Timothy, chapter 4, verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Have you ever participated in a long distance or watched a long distance endurance race? Something like a marathon, a triathlon, or even watching the amazing race on that reality show on TV? Have you ever noticed how these athletes, their attitudes, and just how they respond to situations when they're going through the race. For mothers, you can think about being pregnant, laboring, and giving birth to help you relate. Our life is like the greatest endurance race ever. Okay. Earlier in the year, I was asking God, how do I have endurance? Because I noticed my fervency for Him was, it kind of like was waning, like it wasn't as fervent and passionate as before. And I was like, Lord, you know, I want to endure. I want to be like our pastors and other men and women of God that have come and preached this to us, telling, you know, just 80 years or more, they're just living the life of God and loving Him even more than the first day. And God showed me that it's perseverance I should be asking about. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines perseverance as continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. Endurance is just withstanding adversity and hardship. Pastor Jake has said something like this in the past, or this is what I received when he said something like it. If you quit now, when are you going to stop quitting on yourself? The way I see it is, if I just endure, I put up with things, and my attitude may not be the best going through it. And sometimes I may not even complete the task at hand and quit. Yeah. Where if I choose to persevere, I'm choosing to persist no matter what I'm going through to achieve something and I aim to finish. Yeah. You know, recently I've been challenged and like quitting and doing things and then, you know, forgetting who I am in Christ. And, you know, in Philippians 3:14, the Apostle Paul said, that he pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 19, Amplified Version, Jesus says, Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. In the book, The Making of a Man of God by Mark Barclay, he points out that Jesus was talking about that the real power was the mental and physical ability to overcome every obstacle of this life, to live like a Christian, stay saved, and serve actively the Lord this whole life. How can we persevere in this race called life? If we were to observe an elite or a top athlete, we will notice some of the following things that they do in order to race and win. We are God's elite athlete. Just as these athletes devote hours that turn into years of training and disciplining themselves, we can do the same by investing hours in disciplining ourselves in, number one, performing the skills and drills, practicing daily, reading our Bible, knowing the Word of God, His promises for us, communing with God with prayer, through prayer, fasting. Do you know that when we fast, we're subjecting our body and we're telling it what to do? That if, you know, we can't even tell our body we're not going to eat food, when we're praying, is our body going to really want to listen to us? You know, he's going to be all like, nah, you can't even fast. Why should I listen? So fasting and praying in tongues, sharing our experiences with Jesus, with others, praying for others, and preaching the good news of God, blessing others with finances and gifts, praising God, singing, you know, just declaring His name is Jesus, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. You know, it says that in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, as we go out and do the works, the ministry, and the American English Dictionary, Noah Webster, he said that ministry is like business, employment. Yeah. So it's not only serving in the house of God as a leader or a pastor, it's in your jobs, in your businesses. Yeah. We are to do the works of God and to prosper. And just as we preach there, you know, God will confirm it with signs following. Yeah. The second thing that elite athletes do is they'll eat certain types of foods that will optimally fill your bodies. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. You know, also Romans 13:14. I'm gonna not, you can look it up because I want to stay in time. Number three, resting so their bodies can recover after workouts. Taking a Sabbath once a week and communing with God, trusting in him that he will provide by not working one day of the week. Exodus 28:10, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. Number four, envisioning the course and the finish line, knowing the vision of your church and knowing God's promises and seeing things through his eyes. Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that we may run who reads it. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Number five, running through different racing scenarios that will help them on race day. Because we have God backing us and the same Spirit in us that raised Jesus from the grave, we know that greater is the power behind within us than the greater is he within us than he of the world. And that with him for us, who can be against us? You know, he gives us angels charge to minister. In Psalm 91, it says, you know, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Number six, evaluating their performance in previous races and correcting and making adjustments. Receiving godly wise counsel, repenting, renewing our mind with the word of God. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Number seven, training with our coach. Our pastors are like our coaches that teach and train us in God's ways of living. Ephesians 4:11-13. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I know our pastors don't always like to discipline us, and it's not fun, but because, and we love you, Pastor Russ, but we know their hearts, and if you spend time with them, you will know their hearts too, and spending time with each other in this body, that it's hard to discipline someone. It's easier to let them go and not care and let them go and perish, but they know they have a calling, and it's such a heart of gratefulness. I thank them, and especially this is Pastor Appreciation Month, that our pastors are truly awesome and loving, and I know they do a lot of things that they may not always like, but they do it for our benefit. Sorry, I'm going a little bit over. Number eight, sacrificing. Sometimes we will have the choice to give up something we may want in order to bless another or plant a seed. Romans 12:1-2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus didn't burn out while serving God, and he didn't quit. He persevered and actually had joy doing it. I was reminded in the making of a man of God that one reason many people today have burned out and have no longevity in ministry is because they love their own life and keep it dear to themselves. Acts 20:24, the Apostle Paul said, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. As one of God's elite athletes, we don't ever need to run this race of life alone. God says he'll never leave us or forsake us. And when we plant ourselves in a church, it also says it's where we will flourish. Psalms 92:13-15. Doing it without Jesus and not ministering life to anyone, it's not worth it, you know. I want to be able to, and I know you do too, to say like Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Or as the Message Bible says, I believed all the way. All that's left now is the shouting, God's applause. Woo-hoo-hoo! If you would like a giving envelope, please raise your hand and an usher will provide you one. Here at the Ark, we have three quick and easy ways that you can give, as you can see on the screen behind me. Whichever method of giving you choose, we hope that you will give cheerfully and intentionally to the Lord. If you choose to give electronically, we would like to encourage you to still bring your giving slip and present yourself to the Lord. I'd like to challenge us today, all of us, to do something different and to just take an envelope, even if it's not something financial you're placing in it, maybe something that you can write to the Lord that you want to give, that you want to sacrifice, whether it's you want to pray more this week, you want to fast, you want to bless someone, you want to come to Bible college, you know, you want to help someone clean their house, you want to feed someone. Just putting that, or even just praying, you know, you're going to give up one meal and pray for someone in this house or our pastors. I want to challenge us to write that down and just bring it up, everyone. And when you bring it up, can you just wait up here and so that we can be together as a family and speak life and blessings over what we're giving? Like we said, we want to put action with our faith. And we want to just speak over the blessing. I want to challenge all of us. And it's a little bit uncomfortable. You're going to have to get out of your seat and be close to people. But you're going to sense just the corporate anointing and the blessing and the love. Because this is a family and we love each other. We should love each other, you know. And love covers a multitude of sins. What I see here today is blessed people, anointed people, with a call on your life. You know, God has brought you to this church, not by a mistake. I see you blessed, prosperous, and you have a huge call on your life. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, you know, most of us will know it. If you don't, Jeremiah 29:11, for God knows the plans that he has of us, plans of hope and of future, not of calamity. So I challenge and encourage you, come up. It'll set you free from certain things, and you'll just feel the love of God. You know, Ark family, as we come up, I encourage you to please greet our guests and let them know they're not alone in this race of life. None of us are alone. You know, God says he'll never leave us or forsake us. And with the body of Christ, we all are needed. I can't do it without any one of you. I need you. I really do. Guests, you are very precious to us, and we are so blessed that you are here. During this time of giving, we'd like to welcome you and be a blessing to you. People may come up and give you a kind word, shake your hand, and some may place a gift in your hand. Please receive their gift as a blessing for you personally. The Bible says that wherever your treasure is, your heart will be there also. And we want our heart to be with you. Okay, come and give. Amen. Praise Jesus. If you folks come up and just stand and let's bless it. Arkies, if you can grab someone and bring them up to the front. If they're not, come up, everybody. Yeah, and if you can grab someone, if there's someone sitting in their seat, if you can go get them. Get some YPs, get them. Bring them up here. It's sometimes spooky to come up. Please get that. Look, there's Matt, them. There's Bree, the Rumps. Pepe awe lerare awe e shiraro lerare kalelele kapoya e kapolelele. You folks want to come? No pressure if you don't. Just if you can extend your hands, all of us, extend our hands and just pray your best prayer. This is what we're giving to the Lord. And it doesn't matter the amount. It matters our heart. So just bless it that you and what you believe. So, Father, we just thank you. I thank you for each hand, Lord, that was able to just sow into this, in this church and into just wherever you called them to, Lord, whether it's financial or not, Lord, that you know our hearts and that we call it blessed. I speak over each person here. You, God has blessed the works of our hands. He has given us the power to get wealth, that greater is he in us than he of this world. We are blessed. We are holy women and men, children of God, the Most High. And in Jesus' name, this is blessed. Thank you, Lord. You bring the increase, multiplication, and may our faith just be stronger. And we know we all have that same measure of faith. We just thank you, Lord, for belief, and we just thank you for blowing our minds away. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. And now, since we're all standing, can you remain standing and just give a loud and warm applause and shouts for our awesome lead pastor, Pastor Jake?
Hey, while you're still standing, and if you're not standing, if you're able, would you please stand? If you've got your Bible or your Bible on your device or something like that, would you just do this with me? Even those of you that are going to be leaving in a moment, would you do this and just hold up your Bible, your device, whatever it is that you where you've got the Word of God. Would you just say this with me? This is the Word of God.
This is the Word of God.
It's not an opinion.
It's not tradition.
It is not subject to debate. It is what it says it is. It will do what it says it will do. I have what it says I have. I am what it says I am. And when I believe it today, I can do what it says I can do. Would you just give Jesus a big shout this morning? Hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord God, for your word. We love you today. God, move in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, go ahead and have your seats. Have your seats. You know, it's important to believe that the word of God is what it says that it is, and that it'll do things in our lives, that it's not just an antiquated, historical kind of a book, but that it's alive, that it's powerful, and that it has an effect on our life if we will allow it to do so. And so in just a moment, I'm going to preach to you a little bit out of the Word of God, and I'm going to believe that it's going to affect and impact our lives today. But we want to turn our kids' class teachers loose. Before we do that, for those of you that have been deciding whether or not you'd like to join us for service next week, we just want to remind you there is no service here. Please don't come here. You can come here, but the gate will be locked and no one will be here. And you'll think that we all got raptured and you didn't. And we don't want you to think that because we want you to come with us when we go up, you know? And so we want to remind you that we're not going to be here, but where we are going to be is we are going to be at Pu'ukahea Conference Center out in Waianae. And it is a great place to go. You can dry out. If you're from this side, you can go out there, dry out a little bit. But it's going to be a great time out there. Even if you are not camping with us, we invite you to come and join us for Sunday morning. It's going to be amazing. I want to tell you, I've already got a word in my heart. We're not going to continue on with the series, but I've already got a word in my heart for you. It's going to be such an encouraging word. You want to be a part of it. Don't just wait for it to come out on video or something like that. Be there live and in person and contribute your anointing to the group. When we go out there, it's going to be a great time. If you want to stick around for breakfast, you can purchase breakfast. It's $9. It's a Southern style, lunch. It's a Southern style thing. They do all the fixings. There's even sweet tea and all that stuff. So, I mean, I feel the anointing when I have sweet tea, you know? We want you to be a part of that if you want to be a part of it. And then just, you know, make a day of it. Go out to the beach afterwards or something. We're going to dress a little bit more comfortably and everything. We're not going to be bummy about it, but we are going to be a little more comfortable being that we'll be in a camp setting. And then some of us might just go out to the beach or something, go hike out to Kahana Point or whatever you want to do. Go visit Jason at the place where he normally works out on the beach there in Makaha. Just make a day of it. You might as well. Don't miss church just because it's in a different location. Be out there. Be with your family, and it's going to be a great time in the presence of God. Amen? All right. Well, we're going to turn our kids' class teachers loose to join their kids over on this side here. Kids, give them a quick moment to get there. Parents, if you want to send your kids with our kids' class teachers, you're more than welcome to do that if they are 4 years old and up, up until 12 years old. Otherwise, if you want to keep them here, you're more than welcome to do that. We're always glad to have them with us in service if you want them to be. Hey, would you just join your faith with me as we pray for these young ones? God, we just pray that you would bless these young ones, bless the teachers, God, bless the helpers. Thank you, God, for help. It's helpful. So, God, we pray that you would just bless them, that the word of God would be strong in their lives and in their hearts. We bless them now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Well, I hope that you guys are doing well and that your life is absolutely blessed and everything. Great to have you guys with us today. I'm going to dig into the Word of God with you, and we're going to get into our part six of our series on redefining culture. Don't worry, if you've missed some of the parts, you can go back and you can watch them, listen to them, podcast them. However, they are available for you along with the notes for the series. They're available on our app. But also, this is going to be a standalone message, so you'll feel great about it by the end. And I believe that God has a message for every one of us as we listen and as we open our hearts to the Word of God. So we're talking today about the culture of faith. And this is a culture of faith. This is kind of part two. Last week, we talked about some things. So I want to give you a quick recap. You don't want to miss it. You'll want to go back and listen to it if you missed it for any reason, because man, there were some good things in there. There are a lot of Christians that have no idea what faith is, because that term is thrown around really loosely. But faith is very specific. Let's go over a quick recap real fast before we get into the main message for today. A quick recap. First of all, faith is the title deed and allows you to possess the promises of God. At Connect Group this week, I gave the example. Can you imagine if you ordered something off of, like, say, Amazon or something like that with the smiley face box, right? And you put an order out there, you paid for it, your account was debited, or like your credit card was charged, or however you did it, and you know, it was supposed to arrive in 4 days. How many of you check when the shipment is supposed to arrive? Come on, be honest. How many of you are like the elevator button? You're like, come on, let's go. Yeah. You know that you want that thing to arrive, right? But can you imagine if your Amazon shipment didn't arrive? Would you just be like, sometimes it arrives, sometimes it doesn't? If you're me, no, that's not what you do. You're like, what's wrong with this thing? You're contacting them. You're calling them. You're live chatting with them. Where is my package? Here is my order number. Here is the charge that you made to my credit card. Where is my package? But you know, a lot of people, when it comes to faith, aren't that aggressive about what's promised to them. They have a payment that's been made for them to receive the promises of God, but then we're like, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. Why are we more aggressive with Amazon than we are with God? I think that God has better packages prepared for us than Amazon does. Sometimes you got to return stuff to Amazon. But the Bible says that every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Amen? Why wouldn't we want to put a demand on what's already been paid for? There are so many things paid for in the Word of God. Man, we better make a demand on that anointing. We better put a demand on that. It is the title deed that tells us it's mine. It's mine. You know, like when the waiter takes your order to the wrong table, it's like, no, that was my food. Why are you taking it to them? They ordered after me. We got to get aggressive with God about the things that are meant for us to have. Amen? Number two, faith is the assurance of the outcome. Raise your hand if you're sure. It's the assurance of the outcome. That means you know that you know that you know that this is the way that it's going to turn out. It's not because you hope so. It's not just because you have a strong belief, but you actually have an internal assurance in your spirit by God to know that this is the way that it's going to turn out. In fact, you might even look back, if you want to, into the story of Abraham and Isaac. And the Bible says that God promised Abraham that with Isaac, that all of the nations of the world would be blessed. Not just in one of Abraham's children, but in Isaac specifically. Then God tells Abraham, murder your son. Plunge a knife into his chest and make sure he does not survive this. Now, those two things, aren't they in stark opposition one to another? This is where the promise is, and now I want you to kill the promise. But check it out. Abraham believed God so much at his word that Isaac was going to be the one in whom all of the nations would be blessed, that Abraham said this in his heart. Read your Bible. It says this. It says that Abraham knew that one of two things was going to happen. Either there was going to be another way, or God was going to raise Isaac from the dead after he plunged the knife into his heart so that God could fulfill his promise. That's how much Abraham believed the promise of God. I believe that we need to have an assurance of the outcome, that even when everything looks contrary to what God has said, that we're going to believe God at his word. It is the assurance of the outcome. You guys getting something out of this? It's pretty good. I'm not even preaching yet. This is just the recap. Number three, faith can only come from the Word of God, both the Logos, that's the written Word of God, and the Rhema, the spoken, God-breathed Word of God. It cannot come from anywhere else. I have not found another scripture in the Bible that says you can get faith another way. The Bible says we can build ourselves on our most holy faith. The Bible says that every man has been given the measure of faith, but But you can't get faith any other way other than through the Word of God. Through the written Word of God that God breathes on and makes it come alive to hit your heart in that way where all of a sudden you have an assurance of the outcome. Don't be like thrown off at all. There is no other way by which you can get faith. You can't believe hard enough to turn it into faith. Belief and faith are not the same thing. Number four, we cannot live on yesterday's faith or word today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen." Now, you could just say, "Now faith is the substance." No, it's an adjective, now faith. Not yesterday's faith, not tomorrow's faith, not old faith, not stale faith, now faith. Because you need faith right now. You don't need it from yesterday because yesterday's faith is dead and rotten and wormy. You should read about the manna that was provided for the Israelites in the wilderness. It was the food that God provided for them every day. And they had to pick it up every day. And if they didn't pick it up every day, what they had left over would have spoiled, rotten, it grew worms, and it was stinky. You know, I think that there are a lot of Christians that have old, stinky, wormy, nasty faith. Because we try to live off of what God told us yesterday or last week. We try to live off of last week's sermon, but that's not what God says to do. He said, you should live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Give us this day our what?
Daily
bread. Daily bread. I'm so glad I don't have to fast every single day other than Sundays. I mean, sometimes I do, but I don't like it that much. I prefer to eat along the way. I think it's important that we have now faith. Say now faith. Don't have old faith. Have now faith. Amen? Number five, we are expected by heaven to live and to walk by faith. Check it out. It is our normal. Sometimes people think that having faith is like out of the ordinary. It is extraordinary. But no, in God's economy, in God's kingdom, it is the medium by which we live. It is the fuel for our system. It is the energy by which our life goes around. I'm going to talk to you a little bit later today in this message about how everything in the Christian life works, and it only works one way. What you're going to find out about the Christian life, if you don't know this already, is there are not many ways to skin a cat. I like that phrase because skinning cats sounds good to me. But you know, there aren't many ways to skin a cat when it comes to the Christian walk. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way to get to the Father except by me." There's only one way that anything ever happens in the Christian life, and you're about to find out how that happens. The Christian life is very simple. It's not necessarily easy, but it is very simple. You guys ready? Let me talk to you really quickly about where faith comes from. Faith comes from the foundation. The foundation of faith is rooted, listen to this, in the character of God. Man, if you cannot trust God, you will never have faith in God. And there are so many people that say that they don't trust God. Well, that is just simply because they don't know God. Or maybe somebody told them something wrong about God. Have you ever been told something false about somebody? Yeah. Like maybe they told you that this person was this way or that way or whatever. But when you finally met them, you're like, they're not like that at all. I'm kind of like that. Some people think that I'm super aggressive. I am about certain things, but towards people, not really so much. I really like people, actually. I want to see the best for you. I'm not against you. I'm for you. I am an amazing team player. Like, I will help you climb a mountain, literally. I will literally do that. Why? Because I want to see you succeed. See, sometimes what people have said about God, it's not true. You know, some of the things that shake our faith about God are the most bogus types of rumors about God that are so untrue. Like, God makes you sick to teach you a lesson. Oh my goodness, that is not in the Bible. But it's been said so many times that people think that it's true. Oh, you know, God made me sick so that I would slow down a little bit. No, God gives you wisdom so that you'll slow down a little bit. You just didn't listen to wisdom, so your body broke down on you. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. See, we got to understand that the Bible does not say that God moves in mysterious ways. In fact, the only people that God's ways should be mysterious to are people that don't know God. See, when I walk into our kitchen, I expect to dodge cabinet doors. You don't know why I do that. I know why I do that, because I know who I live with. I live with the cabinet opening, not closing wife of my dreams. You know that? I know who I live with. So I know that when I go into the kitchen, I'm walking in with my alertness on. I'm not going to stub a toe. I'm not going to crack a shin. I'm not going to pop my head. None of that stuff. I got this down. I know who I live with. See, now, if you were to walk into my house, you might lose an eye. But I know who I live with. You see, God doesn't move in mysterious ways. In fact, the Bible says about God, he said, should I do anything unless first I tell my servant Abraham? Do you know that God reveals everything about what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, and what he thinks and how he feels right in the pages of the Bible? But sometimes they're mysterious because we don't crack the book. You know, I had some mysteries about tests when I was in school because I didn't crack the book. But you know, lo and behold, all the answers were actually in the book. It's amazing. When I started to study, I started to get good grades. If you want to pass in this Christian life, can I tell you a great way to do it is to study the book? Yeah. Get what's in there. We got to understand God's character. Listen, it's because of God's character that we can have a confident assurance of the outcome. Amen. It's because of his character that we can have a confident assurance of the outcome. Why? Because God's character is sure. Yeah. Now, I happen to believe the Bible. This is why I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible over every other religious writing that has ever been written in the course in the history of man. Above the Pearl of Great Price, above the Book of Mormon, above any of Buddha's writings, above all Hindu writings, above all Muslim writings, above the Quran, all above all of them. I believe the Bible for this one reason. Because when I do what the Bible says to do, I get what the Bible says I'll get. Amen. It works, in other words. I trust it because I've tried it. I trust it because I've done it. I trust certain other things in my life, like when I push the button to start my vehicle, I trust it that it's going to turn on because I've tried it. And if it doesn't turn on, I'm going to start to investigate the problem. Do I have a dead battery? Do I have a cut wire? Is my button broken? I'm going to start to investigate because I know that it works. If something in the Bible is not working for me, it's because there's a problem. There's a short circuit somewhere, and it's time to investigate it. Because the Bible always works. Amen. Here's the thing. God's character is unwavering. Let me show you a few things that God says about himself. See, that's what the Bible is. It's God's word written to us about himself. So when people write an autobiography, that means something about themselves. You can probably take that to the bank. Like, they probably know who they are. They probably know what they're thinking, what their motives are. And if anybody else disagrees with them, they just don't know the author that well. This is God's autobiography to us. So let me read you a few things and show you a few things that God says about himself in the Bible. I'm going to give you some scripture references, but you're going to need to look them up yourself because I didn't want to make the guys back there go through so many slides. Here we go. First of all, God cannot lie. The Bible says it is impossible that God could lie. The Bible says in Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie. And then when you look over in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, it says, there are a couple of things by which, some immutable, unchangeable things by which it is impossible for God to lie. It's not in his character. He can't do it. Number two, God is never changing. He's constant. Now, for those of you artsy-fartsy kinds of people, maybe you don't like the unchangingness of God sometimes, because like we like things to move and be like fluid and stuff all the time. I don't know. Maybe you're like that. I like the rigidity of God. I like the consistency and the constancy of God. I like that when you put in A plus B, you always get C. I like that because I know that if I do this, then he's going to do that, and this is how it turns out. Like when I tithe, then the Bible says God will rebuke the devourer on my behalf. I know that. He's not going to change that. That is a law that will forever be enacted. The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. I can take that to the bank. Oh my goodness, all I got to do is tithe and tithe consistently, and God will rebuke the devourer on my behalf. Yes, that's right. God is never changing. He is constant. He is constant. Hebrews 13:8, I think this scripture says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Man, I like that. I can count on God. He'll never change. Number three, God is good. Not only is God good, like it's not just like blueberry muffin good. God is the embodiment of good. He is the definition of good. When you look up good in the dictionary, God's picture is there. Like that is the definition and the standard by which goodness is judged. God is good. He doesn't just act good, he is good. Number four, God, listen, is purely light. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, in him is light. In fact, it says, this is the good news that you've heard from us. In him is light, and there is no darkness at all. No mixture. I was a youth pastor for a long time. Some of you guys have heard this example. But, you know, if I brought you a gallon of water, right, like a Menahuni, whatever, pitcher of water, a bottle of water, and I went to water processing plant, you know, the poop station, right? And I took a dropper full of the stuff from the water treatment plant, and I just put just one drop into that gallon of water. You would never see it. You'd never smell it. You would never know that it's in there, except that you see me put it in there. Would you drink it? Please say no. I wouldn't drink it neither. That's nasty. But you know, God doesn't even have a drop of poop in him. Yep. Like he doesn't, not even an infinitesimally small amount of bad stuff does God have. Not any. Amen. Can I tell you that you can only give somebody what you have? So if God doesn't have any bad stuff, he can't give you no bad stuff. He can only give you good because he is good. He's not just good. He is perfectly, purely, without mixture, good. By the way, that's what that word pure means. It means without mixture. God is holy. That's number five. God is holy. Not just kind of holy. He doesn't just act holy. He is holy. That's another word for pure. By the way, holiness is a lifestyle. Holiness is the way that we act and we behave. So in our lives, you and I, we have righteousness that was given to us by Jesus. It is a position that Jesus gave us that restored us to a place where we can stand in God's presence and not drop dead. But holiness is totally different. Holiness and righteousness are not the same thing. That's why they're spelled differently. They are different things. Holiness is about our lifestyle. The Bible says, believe it or not, that without holiness, without a righteous lifestyle, without a holy lifestyle, no man will see the Lord. You know, holiness is really important. And we should walk in holiness of the truth, is what the Bible says. Number six, God is perfect. You know, that means that he is without flaw. No chinks in his armor. Nothing lacking, nothing missing, nothing broken. God is perfect. See, when we look at the characters of God, when you take all of these things in concert one with another, in conglomeration with one another, when you add in this character trait and that character trait, when you add them all in, God's pretty awesome. Yeah. These are not the attributes of God, by the way. The attributes of God are threefold. They're that God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere at once. The attributes of God are that he is omniscient. He's all-knowing. The attributes of God are that he is omnipotent, omnipotent. He is all-powerful. But that's not his character. See, because you could be all-powerful and be rotten to the core, and that would be bad news, wouldn't it? But see, God has the ability to administrate perfect, loving, perfectly pure, perfectly holy power in his presence everywhere. He can know everything about you and not rat you out. God's pretty awesome. See, you got to understand these things. I could go on and on and on and on about God's character traits. But I only have so much time. So I wanted to give you these major ones because they are the building block by which you have to understand the God that you're serving. Shiva is a really different God than my God. Buddha is a very different God than my God. The Bible says that my God is the only wise God. He is the only living God. This God that I'm serving, this one, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, I mean, he is perfect and holy and pure and loving and good and kind and unchanging. All of these things, for that reason, for all of these character reasons, you can have a firm foundation of faith. All of it is rooted in the character and the nature of God. Can you say amen? I hope that some of you learned something about who God is. Man, it is so important. But let me talk to you real quickly about why faith is so important. Why is it so important to have faith? I want to give you two reasons why having faith is so important. Number one, our life cannot be pleasing to God without having faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. By the way, if you want to read a great chapter in the Bible about faith, Hebrews 11 is a great chapter to read about faith, about what it is, about who had it, about what it looked like. You might want to read that. Hebrews 11, 6 in the New King James Version of the Bible says this, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." I want to stop right there for just a moment. Do you know that showing up to church without faith doesn't please God? Do you know that giving your tithe without faith doesn't please God? Do you know that you can read your Bible every day and without faith it is not pleasing to God? You can do every Christian thing that has been labeled Christian and Christianese and Christian-like and Christian whatever from the beginning of time. You could wear every WWJD bracelet ever made and not have faith, and it's not pleasing to God. How many of you want to live a life that's possibly pleasing to God? All right, I'm glad for the 10 of you in here that want to do that. For the rest of you, just watch us as we please the Lord. I want to be pleasing to God. But I can only do that by faith. Without faith, it is impossible. Say impossible. You know what that means? That means it's not possible. That means you cannot do it. There is no other way. This is another one of those one-way deals. There is only one way to please God, through faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Listen, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. Number one, you got to believe that God is, that he exists. Number two, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. I like that. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not just in a hobby kind of a way seek him, but habitually, routinely, passionately, with zeal, diligently seek after God. You know what that's like? That's like when you're really hungry. It's like when you're really hungry and like you're snackish. Anybody ever get snackish up in here? Yeah, snackish? I get snackish sometimes, right? And I'm like, I want something. So what do I start doing? I start looking in the basket. I start looking in the refrigerator, going through the drawers. What do we got? What do we got? What is it that I'm looking for? I'm looking for that snack, the one that's like, oh, yeah. But you know, we have to seek him like we seek fulfilling the snackish. But don't just be snackish with God. He is an endless buffet. Amen. We can dive in and just get more and more and more of his presence. He's not going to run out. He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. You know, if you seek that snack hard enough, you will find it. You might have to go to Foodland to get it or whatever, but you'll find it if you seek it diligently. Look, I want my life to be pleasing to God because it gives me boldness. And boldness before God has great rewards. Say the word rewards. You know, a lot of people sign up for all kinds of rewards. You got rewards programs with credit cards. You got rewards programs. See, we have a particular credit card that we use, and we don't have to pay for things on credit cards because we only charge what it is that we can pay off, so we could pay it in cash, but we like the rewards of using the card. In fact, we'll choose to eat at certain places that we can use the card for because we get 10 times the miles. I didn't really want to eat that, but I get 10 times the miles, I'll take the reward. But we use every mile that we ever rack up. We use them all. See, I like rewards. Some people, did you know that Krispy Kreme has rewards? There is an app that has rewards on it. You should probably not get it because you'll want to get the reward. Free donuts and such. It's okay to have rewards. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 in the Amplified version of the Bible says this: do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence. Say fearless confidence. Man, that is what boldness is. It is fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. You know what compensation is? Payment. It is the remuneration of what you get for investing your life. When you go to work, how many of you would be a little bit upset if you did not get paid after you did the work? All of you that did not raise your hand, I'm calling your boss and telling them they don't need to pay you. Amen. I mean, I'd be ticked off. Like, where is my money? I worked, I exchanged hours of my life for that green stuff. I want it. You see, there is a compensation that comes for boldness. It is a compensation of reward. It's okay to do things for rewards. In fact, we reinforce that with our kids. Our kids know that serving the Lord is delicious. If you have no idea what that means, it's because sometimes we allow them to have whatever they want to eat. After they've come in and they've worshiped God and they've taken notes like they're doing right now, and they've served and they've helped and whatever, it's like, oh, you want to eat at Rainbow's? You want extra scoop mac salad, gravy all over? You betcha. How you like serving Jesus now? Serving Jesus is delicious. See? Serving Jesus ought to be delicious in our world. Do you know that God is not looking for us to be people that beat our chest and beat our brow and we gotta grovel? I know there are certain religions where they crawl all the way, you know, to their religious site, lick the ground or whatever until their tongue bleed. Like God isn't looking for that. He's not looking for blood. He's looking for faith. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know why I want you to seek God so much? Not because it makes me look good, but because there's rewards for you. That's why I want it. I want to see you so blessed, so prosperous. I mean, I want to see you be able to do whatever you want to. Why? Because God wants to heap blessing on you. If God knew that you would do right with omnipotent power, if God knew that you would do right with inexhaustible resources, if God knew that I would do right with all knowledge, you know he would give it to me? But sometimes we're not trustworthy like God is trustworthy. There are rewards for following after God. Do you know that even, I want to say this, being truly altruistic, you guys know what that word means, altruistic? It means doing things with no expectation of any kind of return. Like just totally selfless. Being totally altruistic is super rare. I don't know that anyone on this earth ever does anything totally and completely altruistically. I don't even know if Jesus did everything altruistically. Check this out. Jesus was expecting a reward for what he did. Even Jesus, when he went to the cross, he did it for this reason. He did it for a reward. You know what? You know what he stood to gain? You. You. Not me. Not me. He stood to gain you. And that's why he did that. Do you know that if you were the only person on the face of the earth, and you were the very individual that nailed Jesus to the cross, that Jesus would have come for you? He didn't come for me. He came for you. Here's what the Bible says about it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Do you notice that word endured? He didn't like the cross. He wasn't like, woohoo, I'm so glad I'm going to the cross. In fact, if you read your Bible, he prayed and asked God if he could be excused from said process. He was like, God, if there's any other way, let's do it that way, please. He sweat great drops of blood. People that are into physiology will tell you that the only way for that to happen is for an individual to be under so much stress that the capillaries in the surface of the skin begin to break because of stress. Sweating blood is not normal. It was so stressful for Jesus as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified. God, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Why? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So he could win you, so he could win me, so that he could provide a destiny and a hope and a future for you and for me. He endured it. It's okay to have rewards. It's all right to tithe because you want God to rebuke the devourer on your behalf. It's all right to give offerings because you want God to open the windows of heaven. That's why I do it. Don't look at me like I'm some religious nut that like, oh, I'm so glad to give my money away. I worked hard for that. But I want the reward. And the reward is worth more than the offering. Can I tell you, you cannot outgive God. It is impossible to outgive God. He has more than you could ever fathom having. So I know that if I'm doing this, it's a good exchange rate. It is beneficial for me to do what God wants me to do. Here's the second reason why we need to have faith. Because faith living by faith, it is the standard. The standard. It is one of those one-way deals with God too. There aren't multiple standards. There's one standard. That's really hard, Pastor Jake. Everything is relative. I'm sorry, it's not. Everything is based upon a fixed point on the horizon, and his name is Jesus. And anything other than Jesus is wrong. And I know that we don't like that, but because we want to say that not everything that is not in line with God's will and God's way, not everything is sin, but it kind of is. But here's the good news. We don't have to do it the wrong way. We can always do it the right way. You know how we do it? We do it God's way. That's how we do it. There's one way that is right. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is the way of death. So there's death and there's life, and God said, here you go. This is the way. You can either go to death or you can go to life. Can I suggest, this is what God says, can I suggest you choose life? It's like a multiple choice test. And they give you the answer. I like that kind of test. I can always win that test. I can always pass that one. Choose life. Faith living is the standard. Check out these two scriptures. Romans chapter 14, verse 23 in the New King James Version of the Bible says this. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats. Now, I want to just point out, this is something super practical, right? How many of you guys eat mostly every day? All right. Good, most of you, the rest of you, I don't know how you maintain your body weight, but It's not through eating, I guess. But he is condemned if he eats. Something super practical. It's just a lifestyle thing. We eat because he does not eat from faith. For whatever, listen now, this is a hard pill to swallow. Whatever is not from faith is, you say it. I don't want to say it. You say it. I didn't say it. God said it. If it's not of faith, it's sin. So do you know that, like, I could have walked up here today, given my tithe, given my offering, I could have given all my life. And if I didn't do it from faith, I just sinned and gave all of that at the same time. That sucks. Right? Doesn't that stink? Like, I'm up here, I'm sweating it out in worship. I mean, literally, my shirt is soaked right now. I'm sweating, right? I'm in the back teaching somebody how to mix sound, and I'm worshiping God. I'm jumping up and down. But if I'm not doing that out of faith, well, then I'm just sweating to sin. I don't know about you, but that's a waste of my time. I choose to not sin. I want to do things that aren't sin. I would hate to give, work so hard and give it all away, and what I'm doing is sinning at the same time. How do I not do that? Because I can give and not sin. I just have to do it by faith. I just have to have faith hit my heart. So you might ask me, well, Pastor Jake, well, how do you give in faith? Well, the Bible tells me, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. I believe that word. The Bible says, and try me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to contain it. And I will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. So you know what I do? I take that scripture and I let God breathe on it and let it come alive to my heart. You know, I didn't just do that last week. I did that today. That same scripture, I let it just blow right into my heart. See, we can read the entire Bible. I've read the entire Bible, like a couple times. I've read the whole thing, every word. But you know what? Every time that I read it, I can allow it to come alive to me again. And every time that I can read Psalms and I can read it, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Or I can read it and it can turn into a lifestyle. Bless the Lord, O my soul. No, I don't think you understood me, soul. Bless him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh God, you are a blessing to me. You are amazing. You're marvelous. You're wonderful. You're pure. You're holy. You're righteous. You never lie. You're all powerful. You're looking out for me. Bless you, God. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. I bless the name of the Lord. I mean, see, I could take it, I could read it, and it's dead to me. Or I can take it and I can read it and I can let it come alive in my heart. See, we got to walk by faith and not by sight, because otherwise my praise is sin. I don't want that. I want good, alive praise. I want things that are going to take place in my life to bring me life. You see, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know why so many Christians are dying in their Christianity? Because they're doing things by the letter of the law and not because of faith. They're doing all the Christian things without the Christian reality of faith hitting their heart. Because there might be some of us in here today, there's like two camps going on. The faith camp, doing everything, worshiping, giving, praising, receiving the word, all of that stuff by faith. And there's another camp that's just like, it's not alive. See, without faith, the wages of sin is death. And we can die a slow death in our Christianity simply by not allowing faith to rise up in our heart. Amen. I want to live and not die. Amen. Right? Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and I'm gonna have to move along quickly. It says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In the New Living Translation, it says it this way, that all have fallen short of God's glorious standard. There's only one standard. God does not grade on a curve. There is one standard. one standard, his standard of righteousness. So God says this, get it now. He says, be holy even as I am holy. Holy smokes. That's pretty holy. In fact, that's like totally holy. Completely, totally, truly, completely, purely holy. Well, I can't do that. Well, see, that's where you and I split ways. Because I can. You know how I can do that? Because God told me to. God's not going to tell me to do something I can't do. And if I couldn't do it, then God's going to make me able to do it. And it happens in one particular way. You guys ready? This is how everything happens in the Christian life. I'm going to make it so simple for you. So simple. The Christian life is simple. It was a book written for little kids. And we complicate Christianity so much, but it's not hard. It's simple. Check this out. Everything in the Christian life happens the same way. Here's your verse. This is how it all happens. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Amen. You might not get it, so let me simplify it. Everything in the Christian life, say it with me, say everything, in the Christian life happens one way. All right, listen, now this is the way that it happens. It happens by grace through faith. By grace through faith. So let me kind of give you an analogy. This is the way that I understand it. The Bible says that faith works by love. So if you want to think about it, love is like the power plant, right? I don't even really know the name of our power plant here, but think about a power plant that's on the island, right? Kahi power plant, okay? So Kahi power plant, it is producing this power that is available. But how do you get it into your house? How do you make it useful? Well, you at least need an extension cord, right? If I've got this wall socket, that wall socket eventually is hooked up to the power plant, am I right? See, that love is the power plant of God. And faith, the Bible says that faith works by love. So faith is like the extension cord that plugs into the wall, which is plugged into the power station and causes me to be able to take power someplace in the world. Stick with me with the analogy. See, a lot of times people think that faith is a tool. I just need more faith. I just need more faith. Faith heals people. Actually, the Bible says that it happens by grace through faith. So grace is the power tool at the end of the extension cord of faith that's plugged into the power source of love. Here it is. Without plugging faith into love, you get nothing. No juice. You can have your grace plugged into your faith all day long, but unless it's rooted in love, you get nothing. You can have love and you can have faith, but if you got no way to tap into God's grace, which is, by the way, God's divine ability, if you can't tap into that, then you've got nothing at the end. You've just got an extension cord, and all you can do is stick your tongue in it or something and get a jolt. It's only for you. But when we start to connect God's grace and God's love through the avenue of faith, all of a sudden, something happens. Something happens. Everything in the Christian life happens this exact same way. From being born again to seeing a miracle happen at the end of your hand, it happens by God's love, through our faith that connects up with God's character, through the avenue of God's grace and His work through our life. That's all it is. It's not complicated. You don't need faith the size of a mountain. The Bible says if you've got faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Your extension cord does not need to be very long. You just need a whole lot of love behind it. You need a whole lot of God's grace on the other side. And all you're doing is saying, yep, I believe that. God, you're able. So how does this translate into our world? Listen, Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says this, and I'm going to have to run through this a little bit quickly because I need to get to something. Romans 12:3, and I will say this, I'm probably going to go a few minutes over, but there's something important I need to do. So if you'll stick with me for like an extra 10 minutes, that would be amazing. Romans 12:3 says this, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Another translation says, "the measure of faith." There's only one measure of faith. God doesn't have more faith for some and less faith for others. In fact, if you are sitting in this room, if you're listening over the internet, if you're watching us, can I tell you, we all got the same measure of faith. In fact, you cannot grow your faith. It's not possible. In fact, if you read your Bible, there is no mechanism by which to grow your faith. I see people all the time. I hear people all the time. I just need to have more faith. No, you don't. The Bible says this, we build ourselves upon our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Maybe you need to grow, but your faith is only going to be one size. There's one measuring cup from heaven, only one. So guess what? You and I, we got the same amount of faith. Do you know that you and Jesus have the same amount of faith? In fact, I know it's hard to believe, isn't it? But it's Bible. And the Bible says this, it says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives within me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live, listen, by the faith of the Son of God." Whose faith are you living by? Jesus' faith. You have access to the same measure of faith that Jesus had. Do you know how much faith Jesus had? If you read your Bible, you would know this. It says this, Jesus had faith without measure. So what measure of faith do you have? You have the measure without measure. That's awesome. I mean, that is awesome. You have the measure without measure. You don't need any more faith than what you got right now. But what you do need is you need knowledge of the Word of God. You do need knowledge of His ways of doing things. Everyone has been dealt the measure of faith. Listen to this. The measure of faith is first the measure of faith that you need to receive salvation. Remember, I told you that faith is the title deed. It is the assurance of the outcome. Listen, the first time that faith ever hits your heart is this one time when you know that you know that you know that you need Jesus. Amen. It is that same faith that later on, after you receive Jesus, it's the same faith that heals the sick, cleanses the lepers, raises the dead, casts out devils, all of those things. But first, it hits your heart saying, "I need Jesus." And you know, we could have said a prayer a long time ago saying, "Jesus, I receive you into my heart, and I'm going to follow you my whole life." But you know what? If we didn't do that in faith, there was no connection. I can carry around a power drill all I want to, but unless I got an extension cord, it ain't gonna work. Faith will connect you up to God's power and His ability. I want to tell you today that the first measure of faith that hits your heart is the measure that you need to receive salvation. The moment when faith in our heart connects to the grace of God, everything changes. Everything changes. Now, for some of you today, you might be sitting here in this atmosphere, and as I'm preaching, faith is actually hitting your heart. That's one of the reasons why we preach. That's why we teach out of the Word of God, because when we do, faith can come into your heart, because faith only comes one way. It comes from the Word of God. And when we preach it, and when we tell it, and when we proclaim it, faith can come and hit your heart. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or maybe once upon a time you prayed a prayer, but there was really no connection, you know, there was no spark, there was no change, there was no power to live a different life, then my friend, you need to get born again. And how you do that is by this word, that God can save you, that God can change you, that God wants to come into your world and revolutionize it to be like His world. And when you accept Jesus and you tell Him, "Jesus, by faith, right now, I'm going to tell you that you are the Lord of my life. You are the one that I'm going to serve. and follow. You are my boss. You are my sovereign Lord. And when you make a decision that you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, I don't know how he did it. I kind of do. But it doesn't really matter how he did it. I just believe that Jesus is alive. I believe that he's not in the grave. I believe he's alive. And that he's doing something in my heart and in my life today. I feel him. When you have those two components going on, the Bible says you can get born again. Your life can be changed and your destination can be heaven. Amen. Listen to what God says. I'm going to give you two scriptures and I want to pray with you if you want to get born again today. John chapter 14 and verse 2, it says this. Jesus said, "In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Remember, God cannot lie. Jesus and God, same guy. He would have told you. But listen, Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for" who? Say, he went to prepare a place for me. See, because my happy place is not Jason's happy place. My happy place is not my wife's happy place, which is an alone place. My happy place is not your happy place, but Jesus went to prepare a place specifically for you. You know why? Because the Bible says he knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb. He went to prepare a place for you. Why? Because he was expecting you to attend. He was expecting you to show up. Here's what John 14, 6, just a few verses later, says this. Jesus said to him, "I am the way." Because somebody said, "I don't know the way. I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to get to the place that you prepared for me." And Jesus said, "You do know the way. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." In other words, I want to say this, that Jesus is the doorway. He is the only doorway. It's not like the way that I golf, where there are many fairways that lead to the same green. There aren't many roads that lead to the same destination. This is not Baha'i. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. And there is no other way to get to the Father except going through Jesus Christ. In just a moment, if you know that you know that you know in your heart, see, that's what faith is. It's an assurance. If you know that you need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that you know that if you were to go out of this place, and God forbid that you get into an accident and you die on the street today, that you would not make it to heaven. Or if you got questions whether or not you would make it, can I say that you need to have an assurance? That Jesus is that assurance. And if you make him the Lord of your life today, the Bible says that you will be saved. And that your destination is in heaven above with him. I want to give you one thing, and then I want to pray with those that want to get born again today. For those of you that are taking notes, and if you just want one thing to hold on to this week, I want to ask you to do this. I want to compel you to do this. To build your trust in God by discovering his flawless character through the pages of the Bible. Just look it up. Just start to read. Begin to see God's flawless character in the Bible. May I suggest, if you're brand new into the Christian life, that you start in the New Testament, not because the Old Testament is bad, but the New Testament reveals who God is so you can understand who he is in the Old Testament, because it looks like two different gods, but it's not. He's the same God in the Old Testament and the New Testament. He just had to handle the situation differently before the cross and after the cross. Before the cross, people had to die for their own sins. After the cross, Jesus died for everybody's sin. I'm so glad that he did, because I get to be here today with you. Look, if you don't know God's character, you can't trust him, and you can't have trust and faith in him. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, maybe you even prayed a prayer once upon a time, but there was no faith attached to it at all. And you just did something out of a religious obligation, or maybe you felt peer pressure. Maybe you felt that that's what you're supposed to do in that moment, but nothing in your heart changed. Can I tell you that you need to do it in faith? You need to do it in faith. And the way to do that is this. The Bible says all you need is two things, and Jesus assures you that you will live in heaven with him for the rest of eternity. Number one, you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. that he's an alive and a living God. Number two, that you confess with your mouth, that Jesus is the Lord of your life. That means that he is the boss, he is the sovereign, that he has control, that he is behind the wheel and you're not taking it back, that you're letting him have his way in your life. If you've not done these things, I mean this in the softest, most loving way possible, but I want to tell you the truth. You are not born again, and currently your destination is not heaven. But I want you to go to heaven. It is an amazing place. And Jesus is an amazing God. And he will come and flood into your life and make your life different. I'm not saying it's going to be all roses. I'm telling you that he will be with you even through the valley of the shadow of death. You won't have to fear any evil because he'll be with you. And you know, if God is with you, the Bible says if God is for you, there's nothing that can be against you. Today, could I ask you all to do this with me? Would you all just stand, please, with me? You know, I know that sometimes people do this whole head down and nobody looking around and all that stuff. But remember, boldness has great recompense of reward. It has a great, great payment of reward. So this morning, I want to ask you, actually this afternoon, thank you for dealing with me. I want to ask you, if you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or if you've not done it in a step of faith, you did it out of religiosity or out of habit or whatever, that it didn't work, you got to do it in faith. Today, if you would like to give your life to Jesus Christ and make him the Lord of your life, would you very quickly, there's no shame in doing it, would you just raise your hand and indicate, that's me, Pastor Jake, I want to give my life to Jesus today. Is there anybody here you need to give your life to Jesus? Is there anybody here? I'm willing to wait for you. Is there anybody? All right. I'm gonna ask God right now if he would just continue to move on our hearts and in our lives. I would be remiss if I didn't give an opportunity for people to give their hearts to Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and your hearts with me as I just pray over us today? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that you would move on every heart, every soul, and every spirit. Lord God, that you would cause that we would know you in the reality of who you are, that faith would hit our hearts, and that we would live out of a place of faith and not out of a place of religiosity. God, that we would touch heaven by our faith, and that grace would come to bear on our situations. Let love well up in our hearts for the people around us. God, I speak blessing over your people today. Let them never be the same again by the power of God that would work within them. I bless them, Lord God. Help us to know you in the reality of who you are. We love you and we bless your people in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Could you have your seats for just a moment? If you need to make a decision for Jesus, can I just tell you that right in the seat back in front of you, there's this card that says, I have decided. If you want to make a decision for Jesus, maybe you didn't raise your hand today, but you need to pray with somebody. You need to know that your destination is heaven. You can fill this out and you can just leave it on your seat. We'll come by and collect it. We'll contact you personally. We can, if you've got questions, we'll answer your questions and whatever. But the main thing is that we want you to know Jesus because he is an amazing great God. Would you let Pastor Jolie close us today?
Awesome word, Pastor Jake. Thank you so much. It's such a great reminder to go through what the Bible says about how we're saved and how we live this Christian life, and everything, as we learned, is by grace through faith. And what a great visual. I was waiting for Pastor Jake to bust out a power tool and an extension cord and plug it into the wall, but maybe we can do that another time. But guests, we are so happy that you're here. We hope that you have an opportunity to feel the presence of God, and that you know that you're surrounded by people who genuinely love you and are thankful that you are here with us and joined us today. Pastor Jake and I would love to sit with you and meet you personally if this is your first, second, third time. Even if you just want to chat, we're going to be at the table over there. So come and join us. And everybody is welcome to stay after we dismiss today. We have some wonderful, healthy snacks that the ladies have prepared for us. So thank you, ladies, for doing that so we can enjoy one another's company and fellowship and break bread with one another. We are surrounded by people that are full of the love of God. And I love the analogy of the fact that love is like the power plant. And we have a lot of power in this church because we have a lot of love. So stick around, fellowship with one another. Maybe say hi to some people who you haven't said hi to yet or in a while. If you see people sitting alone, please don't let them sit by themselves. We want to fellowship with one another. We want to encourage one another and love on one another. And make sure that you remember, and if you forget, put a reminder on your phone or something, because next week we will not be here. We're going to be out in Waianae at Pu'ukahea Convention Center. If you need directions or information regarding that, if you're not attending the camp but you want to come to Sunday service, we really want you to be there. It's going to be amazing. You can visit our Welcome Center back there, and the ladies can help to give you information regarding that, or you can check out our app or our website. All the information will be up on there, so you can check it out and make sure to stay well informed and don't miss anything, all right? We love you guys, and we pray that you have a faith-filled week in the name of Jesus and that you're blessed. We love you. Have an awesome day, and we'll see you next week at Pu'ukahea.